You're listening to the Crashing the Net podcast on underfurtherreview.com and nocredentialspn.com. I'm Tom Daly. You can follow me on Twitter at FNN Tom Daly. You can follow my co-host on Twitter at DC Sports FTW, and his name is Mike Callo. He's always with me on this show. And we also do another show together, the DNC DC Sports Podcast, which you can listen to on nocredentialspn.com. And before we get back into the trades that happened on the trade deadline, you can follow the No Credential Podcast Network on Twitter at nocredentialspn. And with that, once we get 50 followers on that Twitter page at nocredentialspn, we'll be giving away a $25 gift certificate to NFLshop.com to a random follower that we don't happen to know.
Right.
So go and follow them if you're interested in getting a free gift certificate and maybe listening to some of the other shows that the website has to offer. We were talking about the trades that happened on the trade deadline because it's been about a week and a half since we've done our last show. And we talked about the Kostitsyn trade, which was the first trade of the day on the deadline. And then you started to see trash for trash.
Yeah, we started to see what I like to call the NBA type trades,
yeah,
where you're just not dumping salary, really, just trading crap for crap.
Well, this one was a salary dump. Mike Commodore, who became obsolete after the Detroit Red Wings acquired Kyle Quincy,
right,
who was turned directly around from Tampa Bay after they got him from Colorado. And the Detroit general manager, when they talked about the Quincy deal, they talked about this the day of as well. And I guess they were in the process of, I don't know if they were going to try to fit it in into that trade originally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, do you want Commodore and you can send me Quincy? And then they let it sit for a couple of days. And on the deadline, he called down the Steve Yzerman in Tampa and said, do you want to do this Commodore deal or not? And they took it. It was a salary dump. It's a conditional seventh round pick that Detroit's going to be getting for Commodore. But that's just an issue where he had a decent amount of money given to him. And with Quincy coming in, he just became obsolete because I don't think they expected Ian White to play as well as he has this year.
Right.
So Commodore goes to Tampa Bay. And there is one trend that I did notice that day on the deadline is that Tampa is really not happy with their defense.
Yeah, they were just trading like mediocre D-men for mediocre D-men just to change things up.
And they got rid of Kabina, who I guess was an issue.
Right, yeah, I was shocked at that one.
And then, but they got enough for him.
Yeah.
And then they get Commodore, who more than likely, if not already, is in the AHL,
mm-hmm,
but will be there if necessary for a playoff run because there's no salary cap in the playoffs.
Exactly.
So you can call him up for the playoffs and just have him scratched every night if you need to.
Yeah.
The next trade was something out of left field, and they traded a career guy and someone who loved being in Minnesota in Nick Schultz, Minnesota Wild. I almost said Minnesota Timberwolves. Minnesota Wild made a trade with the Edmonton Oilers where they just did a straight-up D-man trade, Tom Gilbert for Nick Schultz. And the reports originally was that Nick Schultz had it broken to him from a beat reporter.
Yeah, because the official Edmonton Twitter account tweeted it right away without clearing it with the Minnesota PR people, and everyone from the Minnesota beat got it before the actual Minnesota PR guy.
And it ended up being just miscommunication, and Minnesota thought that they were breaking it to him when actually they had discussed it before he went out for the skate.
Yeah.
And they said, look, this is a possibility. We're working on a trade here. You might be gone.
Right.
But just don't be shocked if anyone brings it up to you. And then he came off early, and the GM was there waiting for him and said, you've been traded to Edmonton. Pack your bags.
Yeah.
And reports were that he was pissed.
Yeah, reports were that he was getting teary-eyed
and
with the beat reporters.
There was like an angry, violent phone call with his wife.
Yeah.
before he met with the press.
Yeah.
And that he was just pissed off. And I don't blame him. I mean, when you deal with a team like Minnesota for your entire career, and now you're finally starting to get good.
Yeah.
And they pack your bags, you're going to be pissed no matter what. Moving on to the next trade. This is, in my opinion, the best trade of the day. Because I watched all day. I watched the Brian Burke interview on Trade Center. I don't know if you saw that.
I did
not.
But
it was the most uncomfortable 5 minutes of television I've ever watched.
Remember, during the trade deadline, the guy outside of my house decided to, who were laying down new electrical wire, to take a shovel to my Verizon Fios line.
Oh,
so
that's
no
right.
Internet, no TV.
You're just using your phone.
I was using Twitter on my phone.
This is the best trade of the day, and they interviewed Brian Burke early in the day and asked him, what are your, you know, what are you looking for today? Who's possibly going to be traded? Are you going to make a run for Rick Nash? Are you going to trade Grabowski? Because Mikhail Grabowski was supposedly available on the deadline day.
Right.
And Brian Burke put the kibosh on everything and said, I'm not trading anyone. All of these trades would be losses for us. We've waited a long time for these prospects to come up and get ready to go, and I'm not going to lose on them now after we've waited for them to get NHL ready.
Right.
That being said, an hour later, he made a trade with Tampa Bay and traded for center Carter Ashton and sent Keith Ollie down to Tampa Bay. Keith Ollie is a guy who's very young.
Yeah, I heard he's the number one prospect. He was the number one prospect in their system.
That wasn't on the team already.
Yeah.
He was playing
for
the Marlies.
Right.
But he was actually drafted by Calgary.
Okay.
And was, I don't know how he was acquired, but Toronto ended up with him. And they didn't want to lose out on him, but they didn't expect Jake Gardner to be as good as he is,
mm-hmm.
who just played his way right into the NHL. And they need some grit down on the third and fourth lines, Toronto does. And Carter Ashton, for anyone who watched the World Juniors this year, was the third and fourth line guy that checking behind the net center that Toronto was looking for. And he's not NHL ready now. He's still got maybe a year left in juniors. But when he comes out, he's going to go straight to the NHL.
Right.
And then there was a big trade. Just it was more quantity over quality, if you really look at it.
Yeah.
San Jose and Colorado traded with each other. And Colorado got rid of Daniel Winnick and TJ Gagliardi and a seventh round pick for Jamie McGinn and Mike Connolly. Jamie McGinn, I do know, played for San Jose, not every night, but was on their 23-man roster. And Michael Scarbosa. But anyways,
sounds like another NBA trade.
Right. The only person that I know that is going to Colorado is Jamie McGinn. I would have to say that San Jose wins that one because you're getting Gagliardi and Winnick, who are going to be on the team every night.
Yeah.
And a seventh round pick. And if Michael Scarbosa wasn't really working out for you, you just moved him right out of your prospect sheet. And then one of the Tampa Bay trash for trash trades, they traded with Ottawa, getting rid of Matt Gilroy and acquiring Brian Lee. It's the exact same person for the exact same person.
Yeah, it's like I said, they just wanted to really shake things up.
And Sammy Paulson goes to Vancouver, previously being in Columbus. He was someone we talked about on the trade deadline episode. And this was by far the worst trade of the day, this next one. Winnipeg traded Johnny Oduya to the Chicago Blackhawks for a second round pick and a third round pick in 2013. I understand the Chicago's good and they're playing now, but I didn't think they had an issue on their defense to begin with. Mind you, Johnny Oduya is a rental.
Right.
So they've given up draft picks for a draft that Johnny Oduya is not even going to be playing for them.
Yeah, that's what everyone was saying, that he's going to be bolted by the time those draft picks come up.
So they better do something now because they're going to be paying for it and they're not even going to have Johnny Oduya to have as an option on the defensive end. This was another trade that didn't make any sense. Boston and the New York Islanders pretty much did a salary dump on the Islanders' end.
Yeah.
But the Islanders don't need to dump any salary.
Yeah, I know.
They have a ridiculous amount of money that they can spend. So they have $14 million in cap space. They're the second lowest payroll in the NHL.
They're acting like it's the NBA where you have to like dump everybody to get a max deal.
Unless they're ramping up for acquiring everybody in free agency. Unless they're going to try to go for Semin and Zach Parise.
Like Florida Panther style, just sign everybody.
Which they did. Look at them now.
Yeah.
But Brian Ralston, who was picked up by Boston, was on waivers that day.
Yeah.
Boston didn't give up anyone. There are two people here, but I've never heard of them. So obviously they're very low in the Boston organization. And they picked up Mike Motow. How do you say his name?
I don't know. Never heard of him.
Who is a D-man who was on the Islanders roster. And Brian Rolston, who has an extremely high cap hit of like $5.2 million. He's 39 years old. And they could have gotten him on waivers. If you wanted to get him, just put in a waiver claim for him. He cleared waivers.
Yeah.
The waivers cleared at noon. 2 o'clock, Boston trades for Ralston.
It's that ridiculous.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
So that was just baffling to me because Boston went to the Stanley Cup and won.
Yeah.
And and they beat the Vancouver Canucks, who was the better team.
Caused a pretty big riot, I heard.
Right. So the GM is obviously a smart guy. That's just a dumb move. That's almost like he forgot.
That was the Vinny Serrato calling Denver to trade up one spot and the GM saying, no, we're not drafting Arakpo. Like, and then hanging up the phone. Right. As in, like, you dumbass, you should have taken the draft pick just to move up one spot.
Right. But it's almost like he just forgot.
He thought the deadlines were switched that day or something.
They're like, is there anyone you want to put a waiver claim in for? Grant Clitsam is on waivers. We have Staubitz on waivers, and we have Rolston on waivers. Do you want to go for any of them? How much cap room do we have? We have about $6 million in cap room. No, forget it.
Nah, we're good.
We don't need it. And then they trade for two older D-men. In a later trade, they trade straight up Steve Kampfer for Greg Zanin. Greg Zanin was being scratched by Minnesota every night.
Yeah.
Motu, however you say his name, who's been on the Islanders for God knows how long. And they could have got Grant Clitsam,
right,
who was just put on waivers to get to salary cap room.
Yeah.
They didn't want to get rid of him, but after they had Jack Johnson come in, they said, this guy's obsolete at this point. Let's put him on waivers and get rid of his contract, because they knew he was going to get picked up. It doesn't make any sense to me. If you had that much room, you put in a waiver claim for Clitsam and Rolston, and you're done. You don't need to get Zanin, and you don't need to get Motow,
right,
or Motu, or however you say his name. I'm getting upset, Mike.
Motown should have gone to Detroit. That's all I have to say.
I'm getting upset, man. And then a guy that we talked about, who we talked about in the trade deadline edition of the Crash into Net podcast, was Paul Gostad.
Right. Who got moved late on the day.
Yeah, it was right before the deadline.
Yeah.
And
Who we wanted, as Caps fans, we were calling for.
Yeah, I would be fine with having Derek Roy or Gostad.
And then what did he go for?
He went for a first-round pick. Not even a first-round pick, because Nashville traded a first-round pick to Buffalo for Paul Gostad and a fourth-round pick. So you send a first, and you get a fourth in return. Are you telling me that you couldn't send Jeff Schultz and a third-round pick for Paul Gostad?
You probably couldn't have.
Okay. Jeff Schultz and a second-round pick.
Yeah, maybe.
You have to think about how bad Buffalo's defense is.
I think this was one of those trades where, like, Buffalo just wanted a first-round pick. Like, they didn't want a player. They were like, we want a first-round
pick. That's okay. Caps
pick.
Have two.
Right.
Caps
right.
have two.
Very true.
And McPhee said, oh, no, we're not going to trade any of our players. They're all great. And I'm paraphrasing, of course.
Right, right.
But he's saying, you know, this and that, we would have lost on every trade we had. You're giving me a stop sign, so I'm waiting.
I am. I know what you're saying with this, but once this trade went down so late on the day, the Caps had already said they were done, or they weren't going to trade anybody, right? Well, I heard right after this trade happened, an anonymous GM, not the raw anonymous GM,
right,
but an anonymous NHL GM said he was livid and pissed that Buffalo had traded him, because when he called, Buffalo said he wasn't on the market.
So you think that that's McPhee?
We're speculating
that's McPhee.
I would 115% say that that was probably McPhee.
And that's why he was so pissy in his interview.
Probably. Because that trade happened late, and it happened out of nowhere.
It's a gimme.
Yeah.
I remember I was watching, and Bob McKenzie was baffled.
Yeah.
He was like looking at his phone. He's like, okay, guys, we have a trade here. It's big. Hit the music. Because, like, you know, they have like the music.
Yeah.
He's like, and Paul Gostad is supposedly a Nashville Predator. And like, that's all he said.
Yeah. Everyone like lost it.
And it's like there were only two times he did that. That and a trade we're going to touch on, which I think was trade of the day, also involves the Buffalo Sabres.
Right.
But actually, we can go to that now because all of these are just BS trades.
Yeah. To just wrap on that, though, I really think that GM was the one guy that was like, what are you, like, threw his hands up, flipped the desk.
Yeah.
Was like, why didn't you give me a call? Because I would have done it.
Yeah, I would have. I would have given him the highest pick. I would have given him the first. Because right now,
conditional first because everyone was higher.
Colorado and Caps are exactly the same. So you're talking about maybe two spots at best.
Yeah.
Because let's be real. Caps aren't going anywhere this year. I don't think Colorado is going to either. If Colorado makes the playoffs, they're out in the first round.
Yeah.
So you're not losing much. I'd say you can have the highest of our first round pick. Give us Gostad and send us a fourth. I would take Gostad in the seventh for our highest first round pick.
I would have taken,
because that's how bad you need him right now.
I would have taken Gostad only.
And a first.
Yeah, like I'm just saying.
Well, anyways, the trade of the day, because I'm a big prospect guy. That's where my expertise is.
Forte.
Speaking of which, if you go on nocredentialspn.com, there's a 2012 NHL mock draft that you can go and look at. Not a lot of people have those out this early in the prospect draft speculation
time.
We'll
be getting some hits off of that.
That's the only hits we've been getting, unless we post a podcast that day. Buffalo traded Zach Kassian and Marc-Andre Gragnani for Cody Hodgson and Alexander Salzer from the Vancouver Canucks, if anyone didn't know who Cody Hodgson was. This was astounding, and I've never seen Darren Dreger, Bob McKenzie, and Gord, whatever his last name is, all sit at a table and all look at each other going, where did this come from?
Right. This was another one that happened like way late on the day.
This was after the bell. Yeah, this was 3:15, 3:20. And I remember the West Coast table out in Calgary that they had. They said, it featured Darren Panger and a bunch of other people, Darren Pang. And they said, we know that the Canucks have a call that's pending.
Yeah.
And that will be breaking soon. We don't have any idea what it is. Nobody knows, but there is a pending trade out there for the Canucks. And then they interrupt an interview with, I believe it was Tom Gilbert, who was recently traded to the Minnesota Wild. They cut him off.
They're like, yeah, we're done with you.
Tom, thank you for your time. We have another trade. Goodbye. And he's hung up on him.
Now we're done.
And then they go, let's go to Bob McKenzie, who has a trade. And he said, I'm paraphrasing, but it was something like, I don't know where this came from, but Cody Hodgson is a Buffalo Sabre. And he had a crack in his voice because he's working for TSN. Cody Hodgson is one of the biggest Canadian prospects out there right now.
Right.
He was in a Canadian team, which they love, and now he's going to go play in Buffalo.
like a rival. Yeah.
Well, just because it's so close to Toronto.
Right.
But when you have a guy that you can hold up on a pedestal, oh, he's a Canuck, he's from Canada, and now he's in Buffalo.
It would be the equivalent to John Carlson, Captain America, playing in the capital of America.
For the Washington Capitals.
For the Washington Capitals being traded to Edmonton.
Or Calgary.
Like a bad Canadian team.
Right.
Like, that would be devastating. So now I know how they feel.
But anyways, you know, if you're looking at what each team is getting, it's a great trade.
Yeah. It was a blockbuster-esque trade where, like, both teams won.
All of which being prospects, by the way.
Yeah.
Vancouver has absolutely no grittiness. When they lost Rafi Torres to free agency, they had no one to put down on their bottom six.
Yeah.
Mind you, earlier in the day, they traded for Sammy Paulson, who is going to provide a nice strong center for that fourth line, and they have Manny Malhotra to center the third line. But besides that, they're playing Yannick Hansen, they're playing Chris Higgins, Maxime LaPerriere, guys who on any other team would be like, well, we could put this guy on waivers and see if we lose him. And then if not, he can go play for our AHL squad. But this is the team that lost in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right.
So they're thinking, we have to get tough, we have to get young, and
we have to change it up, but not lose anything off of it, basically. Right.
So they traded Alexander Salzer and Cody Hodgson for Zach Cassian and Marc-Andre Gragnani. Gragnani is a D-man who has played at least half the season in Buffalo. Buffalo is a bad team. And on the defensive side, they're very bad.
Right.
Because Tyler Myers has not panned out for them.
Yeah, no, he had a great rookie season.
And he's still in a sophomore slump.
Right.
2 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was about it.
But, you know, they have Christian Ehrhoff and they have Robin Reger, who neither of them have worked out for them. But with injuries, they called up M.A. Gragnani.
Yeah.
So Vancouver's getting two players who have played in the NHL. Two prospects that have played in the NHL.
Right,
NHL.
Right.
And Buffalo's only getting one. Because Zach Cassian is your third, fourth line guy who will go out, hit a dude dirty, get in front of the net, maybe hit the goalie by accident.
Rene Bork it up, so to speak.
Right. And then get in a fight.
Yeah.
So maybe in a couple years, even maybe Milan Lucic. I mean, because he can score if you give him an opportunity.
Yeah.
He's more into fighting, though. Vancouver gets two good players that can help them in the future.
Right. And Buffalo gets someone that helps them immediately.
Right. Wait a second. I believe we have breaking news, which will not be breaking for you guys when you hear it, but Marty Turco is now a Boston Bruin.
Put him on waivers?
I believe it's a 1-year contract for $600,000.
Oh, yeah, Turco didn't sign with anybody.
At all?
Yeah.
Well, they must have just signed him.
Yeah, he was over in the Superliga.
Pierre LeBrun of ESPN, the worldwide leader, just a minute ago says Marty Turco is in Boston, 1 year, $600,000 prorated. So because Tuukka Rask is out for 4 to 6 weeks with a abdominal tear, I guess they have signed Marty Turco, breaking as we're doing this podcast, but not breaking when you hear it.
Right.
So we all have to speculate here, but Marty Turco, I guess, will be the backup for Tim Thomas. But wrapping up on the trade between Vancouver and Buffalo, Cody Hodgson is a guy who's going to be a stout player for many years to come.
Yeah.
And it was an issue with Vancouver where they didn't have a spot for him because he is a center. They were playing him at right wing, didn't really work out. Because if anything, Vancouver is strong up the middle. They have Henrik Sedin, Ryan Kessler,
right,
Manny Malhotra, and now Sammy Paulson. Strong up the center.
Yeah, I mean, that's their strength. Not many people can say center is their strength.
Right. The Caps can't.
Oh, yeah.
But so they had to lose out on this guy just because. And they won, but Cody Hodgson, I haven't watched a Buffalo game since the deadline, but I would have to think because of the loss of Gostad, he's probably their second line guy.
Yeah,
now.
He probably got plugged right in.
So that's it for the trades. Former Hershey Bear Andrew Gordon got traded from Anaheim to Vancouver.
Right, everybody blew up about that.
So what? Oh, he left the Caps to be an NHL player, and what did that do for you, Gordo?
No. Let's not get
twisted. Have fun in Syracuse or wherever you're playing.
Nah, Chicago, I think. No, not Chicago.
No, that's Winnipeg.
Either way, let's be real here. He's like Colt Brennan. We don't hate Andrew Gordon.
It's Manitoba.
Manitoba. let's be real here. We don't hate Andrew Gordon. It's like Colt Brennan. We hate the fans that just flock over him. Because we've met Andrew Gordon.
Great guy.
Nicest guy ever.
We've ever met.
Right. So let's just clarify there.
Great dude.
Yeah. Like when I said Andrew Gordon and meeting him, Tom's face lit up.
Yeah. Oh, because it's true. He's a great guy. I'd love to go get beers with him. But when you leave a team like the Capitals, where you are a top-line guy in the AHL system, you're one of the first people that gets called up when someone gets hurt. If Andrew Gordon's on in our system now,
he's up Keith O'Coyne
is not on the Capitals roster.
Very true. Very true.
He is the fill-in guy. And more than likely, with the way Hunter's been playing, he's playing with Johansson and Ovi.
Yep.
So you leave to go to Anaheim so you can play in the NHL squad, and now you're back to being an AHL guy. Congratulations. That was a great move. I'd fire my agent in a heartbeat.
All right, getting into the third period right after this, we're going to talk Caps. We're also going to talk a little bit of the playoff race in that.
It's going to be short. You're listening to the Crashing the Net podcast on underfurtherreview.com and nocredentialspn.com.